This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So let's build on the lesson we just got on the limits of viewing the history of a marginalized people through their encounters with the medical establishment. What about trans people who never came close to a medical transition, who lived on the streets, stirred up trouble, and demanded to be recognized, demanded justice? Marsha P. Johnson was a Black trans woman who spent some crucial time in New York City's Greenwich Village in the 60s and beyond until taking her place in history.
Why are you here today?
Darling, I want my gay rights now!
In 1969, Johnson and Sylvia Rivera were pioneers in the gay rights movement, among the first rioters at Stonewall, a village bar. It was the site of an uprising that helped unite a community of outsiders into a force, and it's commemorated annually in LGBT Pride Days around the world.
People often say they threw the first brick. The people that were there that night don't agree on who did that, so I don't think that we should say that. But what we can say is that they were instrumental in the Stonewall riot.
Imara Jones, creator of Translash Media and host of the Translash podcast, notes that Stonewall has often been assumed, sometimes depicted, as a nice, tidy place for mostly white gay men.
Trans people, people who dressed in drag, who were of color, it was their bar and for the people that were attracted to them. One of the reasons why the police decided to target it for a raid was because it was not a white gay male space, because they knew they weren't going to come across either a politician or a son of someone wealthy in New York or other people who might be caught up in the dragnet that could cause them trouble. And so they targeted Stonewall. And Sylvia and Marsha helped to lead the response that night and then for the next six nights. And then from that decided to create an entire rights movement.
Marsha and I, we were the liberators.
Sylvia Rivera, reflecting on that time decades later.
The street people and the drag queens were the vanguard of the movement. We're the ones that fought the cops off, and we're the ones that didn't mind getting our heads bashed in.
They founded STAR, the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries, a radical collective in the early 70s that staged protests, worked to house homeless LGBT youth and sex workers, stood against police harassment and incarceration, and stood for free education, social services, and food for all in need. They modeled a sort of visionary thinking that Imara Jones says Black trans women still offer today.
There is an essential understanding that if we created a society, for example, where Black trans women could thrive, then that would be a society where everyone could thrive.
A UCLA study released last year showed a rate of homelessness for transgender adults in the U.S. 8 times that of straight cisgender adults. Trans people are unemployed twice as often as cis people, and for Black trans people, it's even worse, 26%. 44 trans or gender non-binary people killed in the U.S. last year, 21 so far this year, which, though horrifying, Jones reminds us, is nothing new.
Trans people have been targets of violence and extreme violence for time immemorial. As I mentioned to people all the time, Marsha P. Johnson was murdered in the 1990s, and we still don't know who killed her.
The role of Black trans people is often abbreviated in the historical record, but a more complete history reveals a more complete path to the future. Take the transgender district in San Francisco, the first legally recognized transgender district in the world.
One of the things that it sees very much as a part of its mission is not only to work for the preservation of trans history, which is, of course, pivotal, but also to work to rectify the injustices of the past by creating a housing program and an entrepreneurship incubation program and a whole host of other things. It is a living history. Imagine if that were the model for historical preservation across the country. If we looked at taking the Harriet Tubman Museum and it now being a center for actually educating and engaging and rectifying all sorts of racial injustices and inequities. And if we did that for so many of our historic districts, the tenement district, even in New York, and what if it was centered on creating models for just housing? In and of itself, that's a radical vision.
The future is trans, you wrote, because the ways we've gone about organizing human life have changed in really fundamental ways. Trans people, just through our existence, show the power and the resilience of change and the possibility of how we can do things differently. We are creating a future less defined by gender roles and defined more by what we can create than what we can destroy. And because we've already had to do this work, we are essential to building this future. What is it then that trans people can envision that has the potential to affect everybody?
What we know how to do is to think beyond yes and no. We know how to think in ands. And that ability to be able to see solutions where other people only see barriers is what we need in a future that cannot be based upon the way that we lived in the past because the planet can't sustain it. The way that we have built hierarchical systems and societies where there are winners and losers, we cannot continue in that vein and believe that we have a future as a human species. It's not going to work. And so that means that you need to begin to pull in people that fundamentally understand how to think differently about everything. And that's what we have.
Amara, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Imara Jones is the creator of Translash Media, a cross-platform journalism, personal storytelling, and narrative project. She's also the host of the Translash podcast. Coming up, the relatively recent history of transgender depictions in film and TV, ranging from the dangerous to the ridiculous, but edging ever closer to the reality. This is On the Media.
On the Media is supported by Progressive Insurance, offering Snapshot, a device designed to reward safe drivers. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now that's progressive. And by Constant Contact, with email marketing, websites, online stores, and more. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits stay connected and do more business online. Learn more at constantcontact.com.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.